And welcome to the Taylor Report, CIUT 89.5 FM. I'm Phil Taylor, and Phil Conlon is, as we say, on assignment. Today we're going to talk about International Women's Day in light of the imprisonment of a major African woman leader, Victoire Ingabire, who has been held in prison since 2010. That's 7 years. Most observers believe she was a political opposition to the government of Rwanda, and for reasons known to them, she has been incarcerated this long time. And we are concerned because the mainstream media does not talk about her case. So we are going to talk about her case. And we will be also speaking to our good friend Steve Sahuni in Syria, to catch up on the latest in that country, developments in the war, but also the politics around it. Steve Sahuni is a very reliable Syrian-American reporter based in Latakia. Latter part of the show, we will have an opportunity to talk to a very important figure in the issue of Rwanda, Robert Higiro, who was a principal source for a major story done by the Globe and Mail a couple of years back now, detailing how emissaries or functionaries of the Rwandan government have been targeting individuals around the world who are Rwandan and some Europeans who differ with them, and who they, for reasons known to them, they decide to assassinate. And the Globe and Mail did a terrific piece. That was Jeffrey York and Judy Rever. Robert Higiro is with the Democracy in Rwanda Now organization.org. I urge you to go to that site if you want to familiarize yourself with the views of Robert Higiro. He's certainly a brave individual, because he was caught up in this dangerous business. As I mentioned, of course, International Women's Day is coming up, and it coincides actually with an award that's given annually in Belgium to individuals who are in support of the freedom for Victoire Ingabire. And we should all be very concerned about that and lend their support. Each year they present an award. And I think we're joined by Anne Garrison, one of the recipients of that award. Are you there, Anne?
Yes, I am.
Well, Anne, thank you very much. We juggle our order, and so we got you earlier. I feel more responsible for doing that.
That's fine. It's good. Good.
Now, and I've been telling our listeners, International Women's Day is coming up, and it coincides with an annual award given in Belgium to those who have worked to bring light out to the public about the case of Victoire Ingabire. And you've done that as well as anybody I know. Let's talk about, first of all, who is she? Why have you been reporting on her? And why have the mainstream media not been reporting?
Victoire Ingabire returned to Rwanda in 2010 to run for election against, quote-unquote, incumbent President Paul Kagame. You could call him incumbent if he'd ever been truly elected.
Mm-hmm. He's more incumbent than a lot of people. He's very incumbent.
Yes. He's been in control of Rwanda since 1994, since he and his army, the Rwandan Patriotic Army, overthrew the existing government with the help of the U.S. and the U.K. And the massacres that occurred during the last 100 days of the four-year war that he won came to be known as the Rwandan genocide. Mm-hmm. Victoire Ingabire, as soon as she arrived in Kigali in January 2010, she went to the genocide memorial and she asked, "Where is the commemoration of the Hutu who died?" Mm-hmm. She has said that Rwanda will not heal unless everyone is able to mourn their dead. Mm-hmm. And And she said that there were people, there were Hutu people who were killed before, during, and after what came to be known as the Tutsi genocide.
Yes.
And she said that she did not think that was denying genocide. Mm-hmm. But she went to prison, and she's been in prison for 7 years for, quote-unquote, denying genocide.
Yeah, and they have a different, another additional word that criminalizes you. That is trivializing, right, or something like that. If you don't repeat exactly what the government says, then you are a deviant, a political deviant of some type that you have to be locked up for.
You and I have been labeled such as well.
I've heard about that. Yeah. I didn't get any message, but I think that rumor is true. So you took this up, and why did the better known journalists, and when I say better known, that people write for the New York Times, Washington Post, Globe and Mail, why haven't they dealt with this?
Well, for one thing, if you look at where the Washington Post and the New York Times have bureaus at this point, mm-hmm. they're almost all in the Middle East, between Kabul. Between Cairo and Kabul.
Mm-hmm.
Stretch out all across the Middle East. And then they maybe have one in Africa, most likely in Johannesburg or Nairobi, mm-hmm. and one in Latin America, most likely in Colombia. So there's just
so they're
of
kind of breaking. One thing is they're just breaking down as agencies per se. It's just they have changed their mode of operation.
Yeah. But also, the official story of the Rwandan genocide has been a large part of U.S. and NATO ideation, political ideation, since 1994. It has become an excuse to go to war. We have to go to war, as in Libya and Syria, because we failed to in Rwanda. We failed to intervene and save Rwanda.
Mm-hmm.
That's not true, but mm-hmm. that's the way in which it has entered our political discourse.
So it's an important part of the narrative, yeah.
Yeah, another thing is that it has come to be a justification for suppressing or even criminalizing speech.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been hearing this lately here, even from people I typically consider progressive, because speech has gotten so shrill and people are getting violent in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
About their difference of opinion. We had a big rumble in Berkeley on Saturday between Trump and anti-Trump people. I mean, there were fist fights and they were using weapons on each other. Nobody got killed, but people got hurt and 10 people were arrested.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, there were big brawls. Anyway, mm-hmm. and probably the Trump people came to demonstrate there because it was Berkeley, and they knew they could provoke something like this, and there had been this brawl over Milos Yana, whatever he is, the Breitbart guy coming to speak at Berkeley. But anyway, amidst all this, I have heard Rwanda invoked as an excuse for suppressing or criminalizing speech.
Mm-hmm.
A
very worrying development.
Yeah.
Democracy is so fragile, the first time there's a fist fight, we can't have speech anymore.
Yeah. It has entered our political discourse in that way, primarily with those two meanings and those two imperatives.
Mm-hmm.
It has also been a justification for 20 years of aggression and plunder, war, aggression, and plunder in the Democratic Republic of the Congo, because Kagame and his partner in crime, Yoweri Museveni, have been allowed to invade, plunder the Congo, overthrow two presidents, assassinate one, and occupy much of the Eastern Congo since 1996, primarily in the name of hunting down those whom the Rwandan government accuses of being guilty, mm-hmm. singularly guilty, of the massacres in Rwanda in 1994. So, and, you know, this lie about what happened in Rwanda has really hung over the whole region.
Yes.
Since 1994, in Burundi now, we've had the West, the U.S. and NATO attempting to overthrow the Burundian government, which is not as compliant as others in the region, and which is looking somewhat to the east, to Russia and China, signing a major mining contract with Russia.
Mm-hmm.
And as the U.S. and NATO have argued for intervening and overthrowing this government, that of Pierre Nkurunziza in Burundi, they've constantly invoked a Tutsi genocide in Rwanda and said the same thing is going to happen here, the same thing is about to happen here. Kenneth Ross of Human Rights Watch even said at some point on his Twitter feed, he said, it is happening. There's a Tutsi genocide happening in Burundi now. Mm. And he got too much pushback for saying that.
You know, it's occurred to me that if they better take that Twitter thing away from Roth, or the whole Human Rights Watch will burn down in credibility. The man has become a clown on using that Twitter. He's really exposed the political bias of the Human Rights Watch, and to the extent that there are honest people working there, it really looks bad. Now,
let's say something about Human Rights Watch with regard to Victoire, so we stay on that subject, could
mm-hmm.
we?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay, well, as long as it's an issue of freedom of speech and the basic civil rights that Human Rights Watch recognizes, like those codified in the U.S. Constitution, Human Rights Watch has spoken out for her on the question of denying genocide or telling the story differently than the Rwandan government and the Wikipedia and the U.S. government do. They have not defended her.
Mm-hmm.
They I think they have said that this law, the genocide ideology law, is used to oppress and imprison anyone who disagrees with the government.
Mm-hmm. We're speaking to Ann Garrison, a broadcaster, journalist, and recipient of the prize for the Victoire Ingabire prize for reporting on the conditions of Victoire Ingabire. You're going to Europe, I understand, to attend this latest one. Can you that the work they're doing is very, very important, isn't it?
It's very important, and I love the women who created this award. It was a brilliant thing to do to keep focus on Victoire and the importance of her challenge to the false story that's done so much damage, not only in Rwanda and Africa, but as justification for various other horrific interventions. Every time they hold this party and they give the award to a few more people who really deserve it,
mm-hmm.
more people become committed, become aware of the cause and become committed to it.
Mm-hmm.
And more people get to know one another because they come to the awards presentation and the party. And the party's wonderful.
Yeah.
I've been thinking about...
Well, now you're making me jealous. Go ahead.
You should come. You got to come
yes.
next time. Well, you should be nominated for the award. But maybe I'll get around to that next time.
I blushed.
Someone I nominated this year is going to be one of the people receiving the award. I just can't tell you until after Saturday.
But, well, that we like secrets. So, Ann, can we talk to you when you get back and tell us about it and we learn about who this person is?
Absolutely.
All right. Well, Ann, I really want everyone to go. Ann Garrison, just Google the name, follow Ann, her Twitter account and her Facebook, because there you will learn more about Victoire Ingabire. Well, have a good trip, and we look forward to talking to you in maybe a week or 2 weeks' time. We want to hear more about it. Well,
super.
Thank you. Thank you again.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Ann Garrison, and she also broadcasts KPFA in Berkeley. And as she was telling us, Berkeley is becoming once again the center, as it often does, of political stress, let's put it that way,